Welcome to Sewindipity on naturechannel.fm. Join Shelley Levis, where she will explore gardening trends, homesteading techniques, and useful tips that will help your garden grow. Shelley will share the latest gardening gadgets on the market today, discuss eco-friendly gardening methods, and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Special guests will reveal their gardening secrets and advice on how you can create a garden just about anywhere, whether it be a small urban balcony or a large open backyard. Gardening should be easy and gardening should be fun. Prepare to be inspired to get growing with Shelley Levis on Sewindipity here at naturechannel.fm.
Good afternoon, all you plant geeks, eco warriors, and gardenpreneurs out there. You are listening to Sewindipity on naturechannel.fm. I am your host, Shelley Levis, talking to you live from the Fraser Valley in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Sorry about that. How are you folks doing out there? Wow, it's still hot, and we've been just a scorcher this summer. And surprisingly, my plants have done really well. And a lot of things are actually coming to an early stage of being ripe and ready to go. A lot of squashes and pumpkins and all that are already well on their way to be picked. Apples are early. A lot of product is really early this year. So, I think that we may not see pumpkins as late as, October. It's very possible that you're going to see a lot of them being ready now. And if it keeps up with this heat. And of course, like as a blogger, I have a ton of projects that I have to get done prior to the season that's coming up. I have to get those posts done and get those out there so that people are inspired with those ideas for when the time comes. And we all know that. We all start shopping a little bit ahead of time before a season begins, getting ideas for decor or, new clothing styles. We kind of get through a certain season, we're like, okay, I'm kind of ready for the next one. And I have to say, although I've really enjoyed, it's been a beautiful summer, it's also been very hot. And I am already starting to fantasize about sweater days and hot cocos. And I think we all do that, don't we? I definitely do. I'm one of those people that once I'm in a season for a couple of months, I'm always ready to embrace the next one. Now, I actually did have a guest that I wanted to have on today, and her name is Tanya Anderson, and she is from lovelygreens.com. She is a wonderful blogger and homemaker. She does a lot of soap making, and she's a beekeeper. And I wanted to have her on the show, but she's located over in the UK, and we had some technical difficulties trying to work the ergonomics out with her being on the show today. So I came up with this idea of talking about fall plants and ornamental veggies that you can grow just for display. Now, this week has been crazy. Before we get into the show, I just want to chat a little bit about my own personal experiences. It's been, lots of ups. Some days are epic. We should all celebrate those days that are epic. I'm currently waiting for a response to be possibly a speaker at a big show. We'll see about that. But I am confirmed to be a speaker at Minter Gardens, and I'll be doing apple projects that for them in October 22nd, I believe. So I'm really excited about that. I've got another speaking event coming up in September for Arts Nursery, and I will be discussing gourds as well for that one. And then this Saturday, actually, I have another speaking event where I'm in downtown Langley, and I'm pairing up with Josh McWilliams, who is a foodie and a chef and does lots of garden to table recipes. And we're going to be discussing edible flowers and how to bring directly from the garden to the table with simple, fresh recipes. So we're going to be doing a set downtown Langley, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So I've got a ton of things on the go. And I actually even talked to a fellow today with a talent management agency, and I have a meeting with them on Monday to possibly get involved in doing some commercial work. So there's a lot going on. And I have to say, if I was to look at my life where I was this time last year, I don't think I could have imagined where I am to be where I am right now. I don't think I could have possibly, imagined it at all. I certainly could have, I suppose I could have imagined it, but I don't know if I could have manifested it. And I definitely have manifested it. And it's not just luck. I was saying in the last you know, broadcast, if you guys got a chance to listen to it, I was talking about garden metaphors and how they relate to our life. I'm one of those people that really believes in energy. And I feel the energy around me at all times, especially when you're in Mother Nature. That's when you can really connect with it. And I just feel that you get what you put out there. And so, I mean, I think this is a constant struggle for a lot of us. We have to, in order for us to stay in the right frame of mind, we've got to work on that, because it's so easy for the little voice in your head to keep chattering and get you off your track, or your busy days sidetrack you from your goals and your mission. And I try to make sure that I do everything, something every day towards my ultimate goal. And I think the ultimate goal is not just about stuff. It's not about having a big house and a fancy car. It's about achieving joy and living my life to the absolute fullest. And I really feel that all the wonderful things that are happening in my life are because I'm constantly focused on achieving that emotion, that situation, that feeling of joy. So as long as I keep pounding away on this treadmill, who's to say where I'll be next year? I'm excited. I can't even imagine. Where could it be? Who would think? But with that, you know, I think that it all comes down to changes. And I really think that we all feel those changes at certain times of the year. And fall is definitely a transformation time for most people, as is spring. And this is where most people start to, they'll move or end a relationship, or they make a decision, you know, to drastically to cut their hair and start yoga or whatever. But every season kind of brings an opportunity to transform and change. And Mother Nature does it the best by showing us exactly how she ends from one transition to another in the fall. It is the most dramatic change, I think, out of all the seasons. And I love this expression, winter is an etching, spring a watercolor, summer an oil painting, and autumn a mosaic of them all. And I really do believe that, because, you know, it's the symbol of when the leaves fall off the trees and they become part of the soil and the compost and the earth's nutrients. This is important. You know, this is not the end of a life cycle. It's actually the beginning of another one. And so I think that we can really celebrate fall and all of its beautiful colors and its change, rather than seeing it as the end of one season. See it as the progression of another yet beautiful season. And there are so many gorgeous things that grow in fall. And, you know, with a little bit of planning, like I don't just plan in the spring all the wonderful veggies I'm going to have. Or I usually do this in winter, January, February, first spring. I really look long. I look for the long term. I want to know what's going to be growing in my garden in October. And this takes a little bit of planning on everyone's part. You know, when you go to put your garden together, if you're really focused on, you know, fresh greens and stuff like that, you'll find that all of a sudden all those lettuces you planted, and you may have planted a ton, you might have been pulling lettuce out of your ears, and all of a sudden it's all gone. And then you've got this hot, dry summer. And, you know, like carrots and stuff like that, and certain onions and rutabagas, those can be successionally cropped in the middle of summer so that they produce throughout the fall and winter. And I know for myself, I do a lot of successional cropping. I do a lot of resowing of seeds in the middle of summer, about August, the first week of August or the last week of July, to ensure that I have veggies for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's not uncommon, especially in my climate, we're so mild here, that I have gone out to my garden and I've pulled carrots and turnips out of the garden for Christmas morning or Christmas dinner. And it's not uncommon for us to be able to do that. And if you're in a milder climate, you can do that as well. So there is a little bit of planning when it comes to that. But as far as the whole edible part of things goes, that's one topic in itself. The one that I want to talk about today is about growing specifically for ornamental purposes. I love what comes out of the garden in fall. And I think that if we kind of look at the garden in a lot of different ways, you'll see that you can create gorgeous vignettes, because, you know, as much as all those fall colors and the leaves start to fall, you can create a beautiful front porch display out of things that you've been growing all season long. And then on top of it, some of them make excellent crafts. They're fun wreaths for the door. And all this can be stuff that you've been growing. I grew a lot of gourds this year, and I actually had to start harvesting a few of them. Now, the proper way for gourds is, of course, is to let them die back on the vine. But I don't need them in 2 weeks. I need them now. And that's how I got to get my posts done and get them out there so that I can get people to visit the website for inspiring ideas for fall. And I can't do that when fall is actually here. So I've been already picking out gourds, and some of them are looking amazing and really wacky. And I think gourds are one of my favorite fall vegetables, as inedible as they are, simply because they are so interesting to look at. And it's exciting to see what you're going to get. And I save a lot of the seeds. And sometimes because of cross-pollination, I really don't know what I'm going to get the next year. So it's always kind of a surprise to see what ends up starting to take shape on the vine. And additionally, I feel that other things that I'm doing that's not necessarily ornamental, but it's for other purposes. I am doing some loofah gourds, and I think I've already explained that to you in one of my other episodes. The loofah gourds in my climate, they require a really long, hot, dry season. And, well, fortunately, we've experienced that here. But it's been tough because they can be a little funny to get to produce fruit. And so I've been out there watching for my female flowers. It's a short window. Like, the males keep opening, and then the female seems to be missing it by a day, and I have to get out there and make sure that I catch the female open in the morning and get one of those male flowers pollen to her right away. And so far, I managed to grab another two successful fertilized loofahs on the way. I've already got one, so I've got three. Yay, three. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, once these have dried, you let them dry completely on the vine, you slice them in half and you shake out all of the seeds, I will be able to probably get at least six loofahs out of that so far. So my hope is that I'm going to get at least another 3 to 6 more fertilized in time. We'll see. We're getting late and long in the season. It is August 19th. If I can get those to happen, I will have lots of loofahs, and I can give those away as gifts to my friends with the homemade herbal soaps I've been making with all of the other delicious things from my garden. So this is a lot of planning. I'm not just planning just for ornamental purposes for prettiness. I'm also planning for gifts as well. So I plan that right in the beginning of the season. Now, another one I'm growing right now is hibiscus flower, and this is the tea hibiscus. And it's not the actual flower. You can steep the flower and make a beautiful tea out of it, but that's not what you're after. You're waiting for after the flower petals have fallen off and that red calyx closes up and forms a seed pod. And then those are what you're harvesting, and those are what you would dry for tea. And they're bright red, and when you steep them, they have a nice tangy flavor, and they make your tea a bright red infusion. And I'm looking forward to having that as well. So you can kind of see. Can you see my gift package? Can you see it already? I just made some nasturtium jelly. You can see how wonderful all these gifts are going to be for Christmas. They're all coming from the garden, and that's how I plan my garden. My garden isn't just about food for the table and instant edible. It's also for long-term gift planning as well. So I'm looking forward to putting together little packages of hopefully loofah sponges with homemade herbal soaps and a little package of hibiscus tea. Doesn't that sound nice? I should sell that. I should be selling those in the farmers markets. So with that being said, that's kind of where I've been heading this year, is that I approach all my gardening with the long term in mind, not just for instant edibles, but for all sorts of ways to be either decorating or gift giving. And I've got lots of different ideas of what you can use in your garden, you know, now starting to get ready for fall, that you may not even have thought of as being a wonderful part of a display or, you know, a centerpiece or something that could be dried and used in another decorative craft. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to start diving into a few of the things that are my favorite fall things to grow for decorative purposes. We'll talk to you in a sec.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on NaturesChannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com. Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious.
find us at PersonaTea.com. Persona Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to natureschannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. Natureschannel.fm, it's where we grow. Join the Horse's Heart and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to Serendipity with Shelley Levis on natureschannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at serendipity.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Shelley Levis on serendipity.com on natureschannel.fm. Hey, I have been just chatting a little bit before the break about fall fruits, vegetables, flowers that you would grow specifically for ornamental display. Now, number one flowering, we'll talk about some flowering ones first. The number one fresh flowering star of the garden is definitely fall mums. Now, I actually worked for a nursery where we produced these for Costco. So I have quite a bit of experience with fall mums, and we had like thousands and thousands of these things that they grew. I can't even remember the numbers. I know that we could probably say about 200,000 of these fall mums would be grown. And there is a specific way, like a lot of people, when you're shopping for a mum, here's some tips. If you guys are getting ready, because I know it's that time, when you go to look for a mum, look for one that has about 80% closed. That you're only looking for about 20% color, and just so that you can get a representation of what color you're buying. Other than that, you want them mostly closed. Now, they last for a long time. You got about 4 to 6 weeks of bloom on one that's about 80% closed. Now, if you have ones that you get that are starting to get a little bit blown out, and that's the term we use when every bloom is in full. That's a blown-out flower or blown-out plant. And a lot of people buy them when they look like that because they look so beautiful. Well, you're still going to get about a couple of weeks' worth of value out of that, which is great, you know, if you're looking for instant color or if you're giving it as a gift. However, if you're looking for something in your garden that you want to last several weeks, you're going to have to sacrifice color at the beginning so that you can really maximize the amount of bloom time you're going to get on that particular flower or plant. Now, they come in all sorts of different colors. They have white, light pinks. I've seen true pink, purple, the rust colors, of course, and, of course, sunny yellow. Now, when it comes to these flowers, it is possible, like in my climate, which is a zone 7, to plant them, and it's very possible that they can come back if the winter was mild enough. What really gets them is the rain, and that usually rots the plants out, not really the frozen. And although they are sensitive to the cold, just in our climate, it's the rain that'll get them, not the cold. Now, here's a thing that I know that people have said. They're very light sensitive, meaning for light, you know, from a lamp or anything like that. And I've asked people, like, they say, well, I've had one for years, but it won't bloom. And what they're really sensitive to is that they need to feel, and this is a kind of a science here, that they need to feel exactly 53 days of cooler nights in order for them to bloom. They need to feel that drop in that temperature. They're very sensitive to that. So there's got to be a cold factor there. They're looking for the cool nights. And if we have a very warm September, it's very possible that they won't put that color on. They keep saying, thinking to themselves, oh, it's still summer. It's still summer. It's not fall yet. It's not fall yet. So this plant is programmed to bloom in the fall. So if we have a very warm season going into September, it's very possible that that's one of the reasons why you're not getting blooms. But if it hasn't even set buds, I mean, it's just all leaves, and you've got one growing in your garden. Take a look around. Do you have a motion sensor light, or is there a street lamp? If it's on at night or constantly interrupting its night hours, it's going to think that it's still summer. It's still light out. It's still light out. They need to see that it's getting colder, darker nights in order for them to set those blooms and bloom. So if you're having any challenges with your mums right now, ask yourself those questions. Is it too warm? Is it getting too much light? And those could be reasons why your mums aren't blooming on a consistently regular basis, or they're blooming too late in the season when it finally does get cold, and then all of a sudden they get knocked out by the frost, which is, that can happen too. Now, that is the mums that you can buy at the stores, and you'll see them at the Costco's and the Sobeys and Walmart, and those are, they can be planted in the ground, they can come back, depending on your climate. But ones that are very reliable are called fall asters, and they're a beautiful purple flower. I have several of them in my garden. They're all setting their buds, so I think I'm going to have a beautiful show later on this year. And they are very reliable, and they're much smaller than the big mums that you get from the store, but these ones are the perennial variety and very easy to grow. So I have those growing all over my garden, and they're a nice plum color, and they're almost kind of like, I guess, a light lavender color. Now, when I look at fall, I see two types of color schemes that can happen. Now, we either have the warm hues, which is obvious, the oranges and the reds and the yellows, and that comes through with the mums and a lot of the grasses that turn red, and the pansies, of course. Now, though, you see a lot of those hues. But again, when we talk about the fall asters with their light lavender, pinky, purple blossoms, that's a whole other color scheme in itself, because that pairs very well with other cool-colored crops such as the kales and the cabbages, which we'll get into later on the second set when we talk about ornamental vegetables. But then you also have the dusty millers. You see where I'm going with this? You can pair it with a purple pansy. So you see there's two color schemes that can really happen that are both very much fall, where you have those cool colors of the grays and the muted purples, and even the light pinks. And then you have the very warm, crisp colors of the orange mums and Rudbeckias and stuff like that would be blooming at that time. So kind of look at it that way. What color scheme, when you're planting your garden earlier on the season, what you're kind of going for in your garden, or what kind of planters you plan to put together later on. I know with my planters right now, I've got lots of the potato vine growing in it. So I have both the green variety and the black variety that's growing. And those are going to be my warm color scheme, because they're going to look fabulous together with any of my orange mums and red mums that I plan on getting. Now, if I was going to go with more of a cool color, I might choose not to put the green in there at all and just use the black Ipomoea vine and then pair that with the pinks and purples and the gray tones. So you can see that would be quite a dramatic, beautiful color scheme all on its own that still screams fall. Of course, we have pansies. Now, when you buy those pansies in the spring, and you know how they get in the middle of summer where they get really leggy and they're looking horrible and they're stringy and they're just not really flowering anymore? Well, they really prefer cool weather. They do well in the spring and they do excellent in the fall. The summer, they take a break and that's when they look really leggy. So when they start to really put on a lot of scraggliness in the late spring, give them a haircut. Like, cut them back, and they will bounce back as soon as the temperatures change again, and you'll get more than one season out of the pansies that you buy. That's the same with the violas. Now, violas are a perennial variety, and they're much smaller, but the bigger pansies, what they call winter pansies or spring pansies, they're basically the same thing. It's just that they're set to bloom in the cooler months. Now, I have planted pansies, and they're kind of, to me, you get multiple seasons out of them, even though they're considered annuals. Like in fall, for instance, I've cut them back after they're finished blooming and they're starting to look scraggly. And then in spring, they bounce right back, and you'd think I planted all new ones again, but I hadn't. So they're kind of like, you almost get 2 to 3 seasons out of them if you do it right. If you bought them in spring, cut them back. In fall, cut them back, and you probably get maybe one more show out of them where you might get them to come back in the following spring. So treat them kind of like a 3/4 annual, because I've done that, especially in my zone, which again is a zone 7. Now, one of my last favorite plants that is considered a perennial, and I guess you could say like it's flowering, but really what you're after is those Chinese lantern plants with the orange seed pods. Now, that's a physalis. Those grow in fall, and right now we've got lots of them blooming down at the garden center. They're very green, but some of them are starting to turn orange. Now, the fruit in the inside is, it's said to be edible, and it's only edible when it's reached its ripeness, like the perfect ripeness. So unless you're familiar with this plant, I don't recommend that you eat them, because it's not necessarily, it's actually toxic if it's not reached its ripeness. It has to be at the ripe stage with that orange ball in the center, and usually that's after the actual seed pod, the orange seed casing, the papery lantern around it has completely faded away to just being a gray skin. So I wouldn't recommend eating those unless you're familiar with how to harvest those, but other than that, they're perfect for drying and using in arrangements. A lot of times I'll pick the seed pods and I'll do like a bunch of my plants together on a hay bale, and I'll scatter those falling out of a tin bucket, and it just like that, it instantly looks fall and it looks amazing. So I would recommend that you have at least one of these in your garden in the right zone. Now, another thing with these is if they're in a very happy zone, which is the southern climates, they can become extremely invasive. And this plant is a bit of a problem in some people's gardens because they plant one and just wants to take over. If you're in more of a temperate zone like I am, you can kind of get away with it because our winters knock them out enough so that they can't get that rampant, and they don't get an opportunity. They die back completely, and then they have to regrow all again next year, which that won't happen in southern climates. They'll just keep growing and growing and growing. So although they're fantastic and wonderful, if you can't grow this in your garden because you're worried about invasiveness, you can always just buy the seed pods on their own from Michael's or any of those places that actually sell them, and you can use them as ornamental use for decorating. So that's what I would recommend with that. It's a really cool fall plant. It's super awesome in its color. Love the seed pods, but it's got some issues. Depending on where you live, it can be kind of a pain in the butt. So when we get back, I want to really dive into talking about the ornamental vegetables that I'm growing for the upcoming season and how I use those in my garden and in my decorating. I use them everything from outdoor, indoor, tablescaping. I use them as planters. There's fun for crafts for kids. So when we get back, we're going to chat a little bit about the crazy world of weird gourds and all sorts of different fall vegetables that you would grow, not necessarily to eat, but to decorate with. So when we get back, we'll chat a little bit about that and talk to you soon.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on NaturesChannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at Sewindipity.com.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturechannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to naturechannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. naturechannel.fm, it's where we grow. Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturechannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at naturechannel.fm.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on naturechannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking about fall ornamental plants, veggies, and grasses and all the stuff that you would grow simply because they look awesome in fall. And we just chatted a little bit about the flowering varieties that are recommended. There's so many other plants that bloom in the fall, but those are some of the ones that are famous and used regularly in fall displays. Now, we're going to move on to vegetables. Now, kale and cabbage, the ornamental varieties, are fabulous to grow and easy to do. And they look fabulous looking for their pinky blue hues. There's ones that have kind of a ruffled edge or kind of a tattered lace edges, and they're fantastic. And what's great about, in my climate, they will last all the way up until about February if I was to plant them in now. Now, they just keep pushing and they get taller and taller and taller, and they start to look really gross at the bottom because the leaves, as they put on new leaves, the old ones begin to die off and look horrendous. And all you do is pick those off. And what you end up having is a beautiful little rosette on top of a tall spike of a stem that looks fantastic all the way up into fall. So I would definitely recommend that you have a few of those in there. And they do work well, even if you are going with a warm color scheme, because they're just they just scream fall. There's some ones that have like a green and white combination, which is fantastic as well, too. The other ones that I do is I grow ornamental peppers, and those ones, I grow ornamental corn. The ornamental peppers I actually purchase because of our climate up here, it's tough to grow a lot of peppers. You got to really have a greenhouse aspect. I probably could have got away with growing some this year because it was so warm, but I've had troubles with it in the past because it's just too wet, too cold to grow them in over a long season. But the ornamental peppers that you can get, the colors that they're coming up with these days are amazing. There's one that I just picked up the other day that's orange and green as the fruits develop. Absolutely stunning. Looks fantastic in the planter that I just put together inside of an apple bushel basket. And then there's another combination that has them with their purple and orange all on the same plant. These are fantastic, guys, and they really do scream fall with their gorgeous colors, and they're great to popping into containers. So look into getting those, and those should be available almost everywhere right now. And then, of course, there's the seasonal grasses. Now, purple fountain grass is probably the most used up here as an annual grass because of its long, beautiful purple stems, and then it has these gorgeous plumes in the fall, which are kind of a purpley color that sit above it. and they move in the garden and they have lots of sway and they're just absolutely gorgeous. But a lot of grasses, almost all grasses, really come into shine in the fall months. So this is why when you first plant them in the spring, they might start off a little small. By summer, they're quite put on quite a bit of size, but really they shine in the fall when they put out their plumes. So you should always have a couple of these ornamental grasses growing in your garden for fall decor. Now, certain other flowers that should be finished out, my hydrangeas have finished out a couple of weeks ago, but I have been picking them off. Now, what you want to do with your hydrangea flowers to dry them is that you want them, leave some on the plant as long as you can, if it's not raining and not weather is permitting, and let them dry naturally just right on the plant. And you can leave those throughout the fall if you want to on the plant and not take them off because they still look gorgeous. But if you want to use them for paper or for crafts inside, what I do is I cut them when they've reached a papery consistency. You can really see that the life of the color has faded out. Now, I've got some blue ones growing, and it kind of turned to this beautiful green, browny color. And I still a little tinge of blue in there. So what I do is at that point, when they've kind of gotten too papery, they're not shriveling yet, that's when I'll pick them. And I just take the stems and I put them into a little bit of water at the bottom, and then I just leave them there. And I leave them there for weeks. And I do not refill that water. The water will go dry. You know, it doesn't matter. That's what I want, is I just want these to slowly dry out with just a tiny bit of moisture nourishment to keep holding the petals in the shape that I want them to dry at. So very easy to dry hydrangea heads. You just got to pick them and leave them alone. Just leave them alone. And I keep them out of full light. You know, put them in a nice area where there's lots of breeze and good air circulation and out of full sun. Now, the other things that you can start to look around your garden for, I start to do this. Like, I have a bunch of allium bulbs. Now, we all know that the allium bulbs have a gorgeous, beautiful sphere-like head on them when they're blooming. Mine are all right now gone past that, of course. They're done. And now they are these beautiful big seed heads. And those are fabulous to use in decor. So I would pick a bunch of those. I'm probably going to do it soon, and I would probably put them into a vase with other dried grasses and whatnot. Now, there's other things like astilbe flowers, actually. I let them dry. I don't cut them off. I let them dry completely, and they're also great for gathering and using in harvest bouquets. These are the types of things. Start looking around your garden. Rather seeing something that needs to be chopped and thrown into the compost bin, ask, is it kind of a cool, dried, interesting flower that would make a really great combination if I was to pair it with some dried grasses, maybe some of those seed heads. Start looking at the seed heads of certain plants. They are actually quite lovely, and they're great to use in centerpieces, and of course, if you were to use them in creating a wreath. Now, I'm working on a really cool project right now. I'm doing the Harvest Queen, and she's known by many different names, Goddess of the Harvest, and there's so many names for her, like Demeter, if you start to go into the Greek mythology. Well, she's kind of like one of those corn dollies, but I'm doing a life-sized one. It is for the competition at Arts Nursery, where we're doing a scarecrow event. Well, I'm not just going to put out any old scarecrow to represent Serendipity. I don't think so. I'm going to be putting some out that's super fabulous, and this is going to be awesome, and I'm really looking forward to how she's turning out. But she will be holding a horn of plenty, and inside of that, I will be harvesting tons of beautiful seed heads and gorgeous fronds that have dried in my garden naturally to stick in there as her bouquet. So that's going to look really cool. So if you want to see how it turns out, I won't be revealing it until September 19th. So if you want to see what it looks like, you're going to have to go to my website or go to my Facebook page, because she's going to be amazing. I've got her head just about done. It's the heads of these dolls are completely made up of wheat or dried fronds, and you almost don't see their face at all. I did put a face on her, and it's made out of burlap, and that's all I'm going to say about that. You're going to have to come and check it out, because it's going to be awesome. And the last final thing that I have to grow every year, if I don't grow it, I feel like I've missed fall and the opportunity of fall, and that would be my ornamental corn. Now, I've got some beautiful gem corn. I'm sure you guys might have seen this on the internet. If you are one of those garden gurus that likes to pin things, you would have seen the Indian gem corn that was going around, that was a kaleidoscope of gorgeous colors. Now, I actually got one ear a couple years ago that was done in blue and pink. It was stunning. I mean, like sky blue kernels that was made in this corn. It was absolutely stunning. And that picture actually went around the web a lot, and it makes its rounds every year. Everybody goes gaga over because people don't think it's real. They think it's made out of beads because it's just so vibrant, the color. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I have saved those seeds. They finally did come out this last little bit. I had all of the tassels. The tasseling was happening, and all the silks below weren't quite out yet. And I was kind of freaking out because there's a small window, and I was explaining this before, that the tassels, which is the male flower at the very top, they release the pollen that falls onto the silks that are sitting on the stalk, and that's the female flower, and that's where you get your corn. Well, if the timing isn't right and you end up getting, and there's lots of reasons, weather factors, drought, you could get tasseling before you get silks, which means you get a bum crop and you don't get any corn. I'm happy to say that my silks did finally show up and they all are looking full, and I've been feeling along the corn cobs and I can feel that they are filling in. So I'm going to have beautiful corn, and it's everyone's a surprise. You never know what colors you're going to get until you rip off the husks. So that is a fun day. Maybe what I'll do is I'll periscope that one or put that on Instagram when I actually go live and show you guys. Like, it'll be like Christmas, every one of them when I open it, and I cannot wait. But with that, it's a flint corn, meaning it's not one that I would eat off the cob. It's too dry. And these corns are used for a couple of different things. You can grind them for flour, which is what Indian corn is. It's a grinding corn meant for flours. And you could also use it for popping. So if you wanted to, and that's what I love about this. Yet you can see already another gift right there, bags of beautiful gem corn in all sorts of kaleidoscope of colors, wrapped up with a pretty little bow and given to people who absolutely love watching movies and enjoy delicious popcorn. So that's another gift that I'm also doing. But not only does it serve as a gift, I'm also using it for decorative purposes. I love using those cobs I make a corn wreath every year, where it's all the dried Indian corns in a kind of a sphere in a round circle attached to a wreath form. And I leave the husks on. I just peel them right back and let them kind of, so it becomes a huge wreath, and it is spectacular. And I make that every single year. And I mean, for the most part, that corn gets kind of, I won't be able to use that or harvest it again. And a lot of times I just leave it out there and the birds pick at it and the squirrels help themselves and they clean those cobs off for me. So it's not just for me, it's for my fall decor, but it serves all the little critters throughout the winter too. So it's a very cool little wreath to make. If you want to know more about that wreath and how I've done it, you can just go to my website at www.sowandipity.com and just type in gem corn and that tutorial and all the information about that corn, and you'll see all my pretty colors will pop right up. So I think I've pretty much covered all the different types of plants that you can use for fall that you should be growing and considering to do for your fall decor. I don't think that we should just only, create food for eating. I think that there's decorative purposes. If you live in a warm environment and you're able to actually grow a lot of good squashes and stuff like that over a long period of time, the birdhouse gourds, I've always wanted to grow those, but we're just not long enough for the birdhouse gourds. They really need a long time to grow, and they need to really dry on the vine, and by then our rains have kicked in and they just rot. So it is a passion of mine. I'm hoping that someday that I'll be able to pull it off, and well, maybe with global warming, who's to say I might not be able to do it sooner than later. So let's take a break. I think I just rattled and I need to take a breath because I just try to fit so much information in there. And when you get back, we're going to chat a little bit more about how to put all these wonderful looks and cool stuff and vegetables together to create awesome fall vignettes. Talk to you in a second.
You are listening to Sowandipity with Shelley Levis on NaturesChannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at Sowandipity.com.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable, Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to natureschannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. Natureschannel.fm, it's where we grow. Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on natureschannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking about vegetables and grasses and ornamental flowers that you can grow specifically for decorating in fall. And you're probably thinking, but it's only August 19th. It's still early. Why are we talking about this right now? Well, you kind of have to be ahead of the game. You got to be preparing for this stuff. And like right now, I am harvesting seeds, heads, and stuff like that, simply because I am anticipating decorating for the next 2 months, and this is when I need to do it. Now, also because if it's been a warm season, my gourds and pumpkins are already starting to come up. I've just grew the little sugar pumpkins this year. I'll go get some really beautiful ornamental ones. I'm waiting to hear back from a certain farm here in town that grows the most wackiest, warded, green, weirdest pumpkins ever, and I love them all. I can't wait to go and check them out. So I'm going to be going and visiting them soon, but I don't know if they're going to be ready in time for my deadlines, because I have print deadlines. I write for magazines and papers here in the Langley area, and they all want my articles by September 28th. August 28th. I have to have all that information and the print and copy, photos, everything to them in the next week. So I got to do it now. So yeah, I'm harvesting early, but it's important that we always plan ahead, and I mean really ahead. In spring, when you're getting ready to sow seeds, that is when you should be thinking about fall. Now, how I throw my vignettes together. Right now, I have a lot of annuals that are pretty much spent. They're petered out. They look horrible, actually. I'm just hanging on to the last little few flowers on them because it's been a hot, dry summer, and they are done. But the rest, some plants really kick in there for the long haul. Like I find that canna lilies, for instance, they'll keep going to the first hard frost. A lot of geraniums will go to the first hard frost, and the ipomea vine will also, which is the potato vine, will also go until the frost comes and knocks them out. those are my filler, and they are there to keep going all the way through to the end of the season. Now, my annuals that are spent are going to get yanked, and I'm probably going to be doing that in the next week. They'll get pulled right out of those planters, and in will go beautiful fall mums and fresh pansies and all sorts of things that are now in season for that color. I actually picked up some beautiful Rudbeckia that I got from a nursery, which I'll plant out into the garden later on. They are still blooming like crazy, so I'm going to be sticking those in there, and I'll get a couple more weeks of show out of them as well. And of course, I've planted grasses specifically for fall, not so much throughout the summer, not so much for the spring. I want them now, and they're going to look fabulous. So my garden always looks gorgeous throughout the year, and it's just by just timing. It's just taking one thing out, popping in the right thing for the season. Now, when using your gourds, one of the things that you can do, we call them mumkins, where you can dig out the innards and plant in a mum. Now, I wouldn't just take the soil directly and stick it into the pumpkin itself. You can, and stick this on your patio outside, but they tend to rot really fast. Here's a trick to your gourds and your pumpkins when you are carving them. After you've removed the innards, just kind of give them a little bit of a dip in a weak water and bleach solution. Like fill your sink with water and add a couple capfuls of bleach to the solution, and then just kind of give it a little bit of a bath in there and just swish it around. And what it does is it kills off any of the bacteria that's going to attack that pumpkin now that it's exposed to air. And that'll kind of, you get a little bit longer use out of those pumpkins for that purpose. So that I've done that with success, and I find that I get a couple more, another extra week out of a carved pumpkin than I normally would simply by just doing that, cleansing technique. But when you're planting it up, you can use those tin cans that you use for coffee cans, and they fit perfectly inside of a pumpkin. If you're doing small ones for the tabletop, for instance, like little tiny sugar type of pumpkins or little mini orange pumpkins, think about the orange pumpkins you might be able to put in like the tuna can if it's the right size, and you can put in a flower arrangement or put in a wet oasis foam and then stick the flowers into that and plant that inside of your planter. And then this way it seems to last a little bit longer, and you don't have to worry about when you do water your plants that you're leaking all over your tabletops and counters wherever you plan on putting these displays. So that's a little tip there. Some of the gourds are so wacky and so cool that I actually like to carve them out. Like the crookneck squash is one of my favorites to play with. It kind of has its own little hook that it can become a little planter. So I hollow out a little hole in it, and I'll plant a little miniature pansy in there or violas in there. And you can just hang those off of a hook, or, they're just adorable to put by the kitchen sink and just have them hanging there. And they make great, fantastic little gifts. And a lot of those crookneck little squashes as well, they kind of look like little ducks. You can turn them into, make them, have a craft day with the kids and get them to paint a couple eyes on there and, glue on some sort of a couple buttons on the bottom just to support for feet so it stands up. And that's a great pastime to play with gourds and get really creative and painting them all sorts of crazy colors for fall. And I'm going to be doing all sorts of different things with my gourds this year, and I think I might do some house numbers, actually. I'm going to do a stacked pumpkin tier with house numbers painted, or maybe carve out and put moss in there and have that for our front door. So there's plenty of ways to decorate with that. And then using even the corn stalks themselves, I'll tie a bundle of those together and I'll stick it in the corner of my vignette. I'll pile a couple of the potted mums around it, get a quarter hay bale. Like I'll buy a full hay bale, but I'll cut it in half and then I'll tie it again and just keep it nice and tight. And I'll use those two pieces as a display for allowing to get risers so I can put a couple mums on top and a few on the bottom. And of course, I'll go and dig up whatever I can around the garden, like some chestnuts, or grab an old metal pail and I'll let the gourds fall out of that sitting on top of that hay bale. Maybe use a piece of loose burlap just to throw it over the shoulder of the hay bale before I put my mum on top. So creating a fall display is really easy to do. And I actually even did some recycled wood lumber pumpkins that are you can stand them in your display last year, and they turned out awesome. So if you want to see what those are all about, again, visit my website to check out that display. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I look forward to seeing you again next week. And I'm not even going to share what the topic is because I'm still checking in with the guests, so it could be a surprise. Thanks for joining me, guys. Have a great day. Check out my projects on www.serendipity.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Serendipity on naturechannel.fm. Visit serendipity.com and join our free email list for updates on shows, links to fun DIY projects, and helpful tips to help your garden grow. See you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And remember, gardening is easy. Gardening is fun.